Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a fun one. I have here with me today Edward Aguilar, and he is with Pluto Delivery. Welcome, Edward.
Hi there, Lee. How are you?
I am doing well. Tell us about Pluto Delivery. How are you serving folks?
Yep. So Pluto, our main goal at Pluto is to make food delivery affordable to everybody. So right now, food delivery applications across the market are structured as if they were a luxury. But the technology and the way it helps people, it just can't be that way, especially as our market may enter into a recession right now and people start switching over into being value consumers. We wanted to create a platform that was able to give people the convenience of getting food delivered without the insanely high delivery cost of that happening. So about 2 months ago, we launched the company. And today, although we're not delivering food, we are delivering medical supplies to local hospitals in the Atlanta area. And just starting next week, we're going to be expanding into the Eastern Seaboard up to New York.
And then, so what comes first, getting their delivery folks or getting the clients that want things delivered?
Yeah, so in terms of, are you referring to the medical supplies or the food delivery?
Or just in general, when you're starting something of this scale, how do you, you know, it's a chicken and egg thing. You need people that want things delivered, but you also need people to deliver things. So how did you attack that?
Oh, yeah. So for the whole chicken and egg problem, we were actually really lucky because the way we formatted the business lowered costs for all sides of the marketplace. So not only would the end cost of the user be about 40% that of the current competitors, but it was also about 70% that of for restaurants than current competitors. So they stood to gain a lot on their margins. Because I don't know if you've seen what's been going on in the news recently, but Uber Eats, DoorDash, Postmates have been coming under fire for charging too high of commission costs to restaurants, much higher than the margins that the restaurants themselves actually have, meaning that obviously they would lose, they wouldn't turn a profit on any of the things they were selling. So when we lowered the cost for all sides of the marketplace, what we found is that people were much more willing to join the platform. So we just went door to door. We started reaching out. We went to local restaurants, said, hey, my name's Edward. I'm with Pluto. Here's the mission. You want to join us? And I think in about 2 days of doing that, we were able to get 72 restaurants. And we reached out to our student network here in Alpharetta. We're all high school students, all four of the founders. And we reached out to the local student network. We were able to get a few hundred people on board, as well as a few people through the WhatsApp community. And to be honest with you, we were really lucky because we didn't have to necessarily face that whole chicken and egg problem on day one.
Now, what's how do you make it attractive for the delivery person to do all the work?
Yeah, so we're not lowering costs by paying the drivers less. We have a routing algorithm that effectively allows us, to put it pretty simply, to route 5 orders with 1 driver. So right now, the best platforms out there with the top class routing algorithm allows 1 driver to carry 1, maybe 2 orders from 1 place to another. And what happens when they do that is that obviously if there's 2 orders, they can split the cost of the delivery in half for each one of the customers getting it delivered because you still have to pay the driver the same amount. So when our routing system came out and we started testing it and we saw that we could get over double that with 5 orders, then the delivery cost got split down to 5. So the driver is still getting paid the same amount. In fact, we've opted to pay them slightly more than the current platforms just to bring them on board and to show that we're a community that cares about all sides of the marketplace. We care about the restaurants that are supplying the food, obviously the customers that would be buying the food, and the drivers who, you know, tie the whole system together. So platforms exciting for drivers because they're getting paid more to follow what's arguably a better mission.
Now, how you mentioned that you're all high school students. How did you kind of become experts in this way of navigating routes and this kind of supply chain logistics skills?
Well, to be honest with you, we're not experts. We owe a lot of this to the mentors that reached out to us and offered to help with the project. So on day one, we went to our business teacher and we told him, hey, yesterday we were trying to order food for robotics competition, and we just got charged $72 for a couple pizzas and drinks. Like, do you think we could do something here? And he's like, you know what? I don't know if you can, but I'm willing to support you through the way. And he put a sponsorship behind us. And then what we did is that we reached out to professors across the country on LinkedIn. We said, hey, my name's Edward. My name's Tyler. My name is Jordan. And we need your help on this project. We're wondering, we see that you're an expert in the field. Do you think you can get in a call with us? So what we did for the first month is that we sat down and we took conferences with all these people. And we started asking them, what is going on with the current routing? Why is it that they can only do two orders before the order goes bad? So we got a lot of expert opinions on it. And then we came up with a relatively simple idea. And that was to start collecting a lot more data points than the competitors that allowed us to more accurately predict the time. Because the reason, the crux of why they're only able to deliver two of these things is because they don't have enough data to understand exactly when an item is going to be ready and how long that item is going to be stable for. So we're collecting a lot more data points. And the moment we've done that, we're able to more accurately determine our routing. So it's just kind of been a natural process where we got just ballooned to the top by all these amazing professors that were willing to help us out. We even had some people in the industry who work in other food delivery apps help us out. And then from there, we started building off of it with our own ideas. So, I mean, there's a famous quote, right? Standing on the shoulders of giants. We're not experts on this. We were very lucky to get in contact with people that were.
Now, because of the timing of the deliveries, does that mean that this works better with some kind of types of food than others?
Well, that's the beautiful thing of the routing. So we built the whole thing for scalability and variability. So the reason that routing in the food delivery area especially is a nightmare is because of how variable everything is. So to take a little bit of a trip down history lane, you look back maybe one century back and then you see the milkman delivery route or the newspaper delivery route. And what you see is that when those people tried to go out and delivered, they would have a list of everybody they needed to deliver, what they were delivering, where they were the night before at the latest. So that means that the milkman or the newspaper boy would be able to leave their house at the beginning of the day and be like, okay, there are 13 places we need to hit at these times exactly, and we can slowly over time perfect that and perfect that and perfect that down to the millisecond because of how efficient we'll become and how much we'll notice patterns. The problem is, and this is why food delivery is such a troublesome area right now, is because of none of those variables exist until the moment they do. So take, for example, if you're on Uber Eats and you're like, hey, I would like to get a pizza today. You could make that decision at any time. You can make the decision that it is a pizza and it's going to be at this location and I want it at this time, any time of the day, which means that that platform needs to be ready to support you to come on board and be like, okay, how are we going to route this guy over here fast enough to make sure that the other delivery isn't going to go bad? So that's why right now everything is pretty fragmented because obviously they can only do so much with all the variability introduced. So the way we wanted to build our system was to make sure that we could take as many inputs as possible and still be able to scale and be flexible with our delivery. Because of course, if you try to launch us in New York and you have millions of people trying to use the platform, we want to make sure that we're feasible as much over there as we are here in the small town of Alpharetta or in the city of Atlanta. We want to make sure we're feasible everywhere. So when it comes to whenever or not the item, the variability of the item stability time, right? That's something we built straight into the algorithm to make sure that, you know, the fifth person, their delivery wouldn't look any different than the first person who got their delivery. And that's the magic behind the algorithm.
So the algorithm takes into consideration, like if I order a sub, it can probably sit in the car for longer than a thin crust pizza can. It's going to put those things in the right order?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's part of the thing. We have a whole ranking system, which basically looks like, hey, like what you said, if you have a donut, that thing can sit in there for 3 hours. You got a hamburger, that's 15 minutes tops. And there's a few other variables that go into that in terms of what starts happening after that stability time. Does it start steaming? Does it start melting? There's a number of things, and you can classify them by terms of importance. So what we've done is started to take hundreds of little data points per item, which in the beginning is very expensive, which is why no other company has gone out and done this. But in the long term, it starts paying amazing dividends in the form of multi-route delivery.
Now, do you have any advice for the companies now that are being forced to do carry out and delivery that maybe they didn't intend their business to be a carry out and delivery business? Is there certain kind of things you've learned that helped them optimize, whether it's order accuracy or whether it's, you know, the packing of food? There's some things you've learned that maybe you can help them.
I'm really excited because what I've seen is that the community has been trying to help those restaurants a lot. So you're saying mom and pops with no digital marketing, with no paid advertising out there, getting a lot of sales right now just because of the outpouring of the community. But you're also seeing a lot of places who did all those things and they're getting exactly the opposite. The biggest thing it seems to be right now is staying in touch with your customers more than the packaging of the product. Of course, you want it to be safe more than the product itself. Of course, you want it to be good, but you should have already done that. And I think if you've already done that prior to all of this, you would have built up a relatively good customer base. So the most important thing that we have noticed at Pluto, the ones that are separating the businesses that are successful from the ones that aren't, are the ones who call their customers every day. And I know it sounds ridiculous, but I cannot tell you the amount of companies we've gone and said, hey, we're Pluto, what are you doing right now to get these customers? Because this must be a nightmare. Nobody's able to come into your shop and you're a dine-in restaurant. And they're saying, we're calling up our customers right now. We have a list of 200 regulars. And we go and we say, hey, John, we know you can't dine in right now with us, but would you like to buy a gift card? Would you like to have us deliver to you? And they keep that customer trust at the forefront. Because when all the technology fails and you're not able to go into the stores anymore and you can't drive anywhere, the number one thing and probably the only thing that will be able to still exist through all of that is trust, especially that with the consumer. So that is what I would say is the most important thing for restaurants and businesses in general right now to focus on.
Well, you guys aren't launching yet until April 20th. Can you talk about what you're doing right now, how you're supporting the community despite not actually delivering food as of yet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we've already partnered up with a number of restaurants and users who want to work on the food side of things. But what we've been doing is pushing the launch date. It was originally at the beginning of April because we saw that there was a need in our community to deliver medical supplies to local hospitals. So you've probably seen a number of organizations out there who are connecting donors with healthcare workers on the front lines. There's some major, amazing people just here in Atlanta. I can name SMAH, sewing masks for Atlanta hospitals, Atlanta Beats COVID, getuspppe.org. Those are all major suppliers. But what we saw is that these people, we called up ABC. It was being run by a fifth grade elementary teacher. And these people don't really have a background in supply chain and logistics. They have a background in helping people, which is why they were so amazing and jumped to the front lines to organize these things. And of course, that was only one specific example at one specific company. But what we did is that we reached out to a number of these organizations, and it turns out it was the same people. It was the people from the same background, people who just wanted to help. So they don't have the logistics on lock. They don't have the supply chain necessarily perfected yet. So what we did is that we went and we said, hey, we know you guys are in a tough spot right now. We are a delivery company. We do have routing software. We can give you logistics software. We can take care of your entire supply chain, and we'll do it free of cost because it's beneficial to the both of us. Not only are we able to deliver to local hospitals and people who need this the most, which means all of our businesses can be up and running sooner the better, right? But also it gives us a chance to test our routing algorithm, right? Because now we're able to launch, 3,000 drivers delivering 100,000 supplies, and we can look at exactly their margin of error, how long it takes them to travel, X amount of time. So what we've been up to for about the last month and a half is we've been delivering supplies to local hospitals, and that started here in Alpharetta. We reached out to our student network and we said, hey guys, we want to deliver to Central EMS. It's a really small hospital here in Alpharetta. And we're like, do you have any donations? We would love some masks, some disinfectant wipes. Day one, we got 81 individual donations, about 400 supplies out of that. And we went and we donated that first batch. And that same day, we had another organization in Atlanta reach out to us and said, hey, we saw that Central EMS posted about you. Are you doing this on a large scale? And we all talked to each other, all the team, we sat down and we're like, why aren't we doing this on a larger scale? Because we can do it. And so that day we decided to stop what we were doing with food delivery, push that in the meantime, and focus 100% on medical supplies. And in the last month and a half since we made that decision, we've been able to deliver over 17,000 medical supplies. And just yesterday, we were able to sign a really big deal with ABC, Atlanta Beats COVID, to double that supply. We're super excited about this. Starting next week, an extra 6,500 masks and ventilators and face shields starting next week. And that's going to be anywhere here in Atlanta to nearby states all the way up to New York. So that's what we've been doing right now to try and help and give back to the community. And to be honest with you, Lee, that has been by far the most exciting thing about this company right now. It's been an awesome experience to be able to go meet these healthcare workers and see what they've been up to.
So now regarding the launch of Pluto, what do you need more of right now? How can our listeners help?
Well, to be honest with you, I could plug our website right now and tell people to go, you know, sign up for food delivery. But to be honest, the number one thing we need right now is people who are willing to donate and people who are willing to help, not the food delivery aspect of things, but the donation side of things. So I'm coming on here more as a startup founder who's currently running a charity and for the foreseeable future would like to do that to help out with the situation. So in terms of how people can help, we do have a website up right now. It's Pluto.delivery instead of .com. And if you go to that website, you'll see three buttons. I need supplies, I have supplies, and I want to donate. If you're a healthcare worker, you can fill out a form in less than 2 minutes, and we can get you matched with a donor in less than an hour. That's how much supply we have right now. And if you are a donor, if you can click I have supplies, and that doesn't have to be N95 masks, it doesn't have to be gowns, it could be homemade masks that you sew at home, it could be Clorox disinfectant wipes, it could be a bleach spray, we have a list of all the items you can donate. And here's the beautiful thing, you click I want to donate those supplies. You fill out that form in just a few minutes, and the next day we'll be at your front door free of charge, and we'll pick up those supplies, and that's it. You don't have to ship anything. You don't have to pay for anything. And finally, if you don't have either of those things, but you would like to still support the cause, we do have a donate button on the site, and 100% of that goes to the not-for-profit-only part of the company, which is 100% to funding the deliveries in terms of gas and paying the drivers to deliver this. Because to be honest with you, we've had to train our drivers much more than you would ever be able to believe to make sure that not only are they safe out there, but they're keeping everybody else safe. Because everybody's safety right now is obviously of the utmost importance. So in terms of what we need right now, we need more community support to get behind this so we can help more people. Because the more people that get behind this, the faster this can all be behind us.
Good stuff. Well, Edward, thank you so much for sharing your story. And give them the website one more time.
Yep. So you can see us at Pluto.delivery instead of .com.
All right. Edward Aguilar with Pluto Delivery. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you, Lee.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.